Hello, and warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Ben Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Broadcast. Why don't we begin with reading the Bible together? Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to listen to His words and teach us how to read on our own time. Now we have a devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will open our imagination world to portray characters in the Bible. And last, but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will wrap up the broadcast. I hope you have a blessed time rejoicing in God throughout this journey, and please invite your friends to begin this awesome journey together. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. X-rays are excellent medical tools. Using the X-ray, we can determine whether we have a problem in our lungs and whether our bones are broken without actually having to open up the body. However, although the X-ray is a great tool to show where the problems are in the body, it does not have the ability to fix these problems. It only tells us the fact that something is wrong. For example, if your bone is broken, the X-ray can only tell you which bone is broken. Then, the doctor aligns the bones, places a cast on it, and treats the bones to help them mend. The law that God gave us through Moses is similar to an X-ray. It explains what is sinful, and it allows us to understand that we are sinners. However, people can't just overcome sin by knowing what sin is through the law. This is because people do not have the power to control sin. This is also why God sent Jesus down to save us from our sins. We see this fact in Romans chapter 3. The law makes us realize our sins. The people that realize their sins know that the sins prevent them from reaching the glory of God. Not being able to reach the glory of God means that we can't go before God, which ultimately means that we can't be with God. If the problem, which is our sins, cannot be solved, then we cannot go before God. So, how can we resolve our sins? The price for sin is death. There is no other way to solve the problem of sin except death. However, God sent Jesus Christ, who was sinless, to take away all the sins of the world and die on the cross with them. Jesus paid the price for sin by shedding His own blood. As a result, those that believe in Jesus can go before God and be with Him. Reconciliation with God became possible. In Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, it says, God gave Christ as a sacrifice to pay for sins through the spilling of His blood. So He forgives the sins of those who have faith. God did all this to prove that He does what is right. He is a God of mercy. So He did not punish for their sins the people who lived before Jesus lived. God did all this to prove in our own time that He does what is right. He also makes right with Himself those who believe in Jesus. Have you been reconciled to God through the grace of Jesus? Are you living with God? I hope that we will all live in the grace of God who has transformed us from sinners to righteous people. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to remember and understand that we are reconciled to You through Jesus. Please also lead us and help us to live each day with You. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Samuel from California will read the book of Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 31 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Nathaniel. I'm 9 years old and I live in California. Today, I'm going to read Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 31. Let's read the Bible. What the law says, it says to those who are ruled by the law. Its purpose is to shut every mouth and make the whole world accountable to God. So no one will be considered right with God by obeying the law. Instead, the law makes us more aware of our sin. But now God has shown us his saving power without the help of the law. But the law and the prophets tell us about this. We are made right with God by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. This happens to all who believe. It is no different for the Jews than for the Gentiles. Everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. The free gift of God's grace makes us right with Him. Christ Jesus paid the price to set us free. God gave Christ as a sacrifice to pay for sins through the spilling of His blood. So God forgives the sins of those who have faith. God did all this to prove that He does what is right. He is a God of mercy. So He did not punish for their sins the people who lived before Jesus lived. God did all this to prove, in our own time, that He does what is right. He also makes right with Himself those who believe in Jesus. So who can brag? No one. Are people saved by the law that requires them to obey? Not at all. They are saved because of the law that requires faith. We firmly believe that a person is made right with God because of their faith. They are not saved by obeying the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Isn't He also the God of Gentiles? Yes, He is their God too. There is only one God. When those who are circumcised believe in Him, He makes them right with Himself. Suppose those who are not circumcised believe in Him, then God also will make them right with Himself. Does faith make the law useless? Not at all. We agree with the law. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for dying on the cross for our sin. Thank You for forgiving me. Help me to forgive others too. Also, help me to stay faithful. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Now we may never
Following is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be two episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
Do you ever get overwhelmed thinking about what your future will look like? Hey there, Emily Tenter here, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Maybe you felt some anxiety or even fear when you think about your future. Maybe the plans you have for yourself don't seem to be working out exactly how you planned, and you aren't sure what to do about it. I think those were some of the thoughts Abby Siona had when she wrote today's wonderful devotion about how Jesus walks beside us. It's called Wherever You Go. Where do I go from here? I wondered, looking at my story. I had just finished typing out another novel for the collection of manuscripts sitting on my computer. My head swirled with story ideas and dreams, but I had no idea how to get any of them published. How long will it be till then? Years? Decades? When I get overwhelmed thinking about how far I still have to go, I come back to one of my favorite Bible verses, Joshua 1:9. The Israelites were about to enter the land God promised to them generations ago, and their leader, Moses, had just died. God appointed Joshua to take Moses' place. Joshua must have been overwhelmed. Moses had led the Israelites through the Red Sea out of slavery in Egypt, given them God's good law at the base of Mount Sinai, and led them through 40 years of wandering in the desert. This left Joshua with a huge position to fill at a critical point in Israel's history. But just before entering the Promised Land, God spoke to Joshua. He promised never to leave Joshua nor forsake him, no matter where they went. And this promise came with a command that God repeated several times: be strong and courageous. Similarly, when Jesus finished his work on earth after he defeated sin, death, and brokenness through his life, death, and resurrection, and was about to leave his disciples to return to heaven, he gave them some final instructions, Acts 1, 1-11, and this promise: I am with you always, to the very end of the age, Matthew 28:20. I don't know where my writing might take me, but I know Jesus will be with me every step of the way, and he knows what is best for me. No matter where you go in your life, Jesus is with you and has a plan through all of it. We can be strong and courageous because he has overcome the world, John 16:33. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So let's talk about this. Do you ever get overwhelmed thinking about what your future could hold? Read John 16:33. If you've put your trust in Jesus, who has overcome the world, he lives in you through the Holy Spirit. How does this equip you to face the future with strength and courage? If you want to check out some more scriptures on this topic, check out Joshua 1, 1-9, Matthew 28, 18-20, and Romans 8, 28-39 to keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked, a production of Keys for Kids Ministries. If you like the art we have on our print devotional and on our app, check out our verse picks. Downloadable images with Bible verses that you can set as your phone background that will help you to meditate on scripture throughout each quarter of Unlocked. And that is it for me. Thanks again for being here. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
If you don't know the truths of the gospel, it's really easy to compromise them without realizing it. How does studying God's word together help you stand strong in the truth? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's word in your life. Peer pressure. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard a sermon or speech about peer pressure for teenagers, I'd be rich. But as Taylor Ising points out in today's devotion, peer pressure isn't just an issue for teens. This one is called pressured. People tend to talk about peer pressure as if it only affects teenagers, but the truth is, it doesn't magically go away once you turn 20. And because peer pressure will always be a part of life, it's important that we learn how to deal with it well. why are we as humans so easily overcome by peer pressure? Well, because we're hardwired for community. God, who lives in constant community as three persons in one, created us in his image. So we reflect God's love of community, and that's a good thing. However, sin takes this good desire for community and warps it, twisting it into a fear-driven need to be liked by those around us. Satan fills our heads with thoughts like, they won't like me if I don't join in, or if they do it, it can't be that bad, right? No one is immune to this. I mean, look at today's reading in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth that has been peer pressured into believing nobody could be resurrected from the dead. Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection when he returns is a huge part of the gospel. In fact, with no resurrection, there is no gospel. By giving in to peer pressure, the Corinthian Christians were denying the gospel. So, how do we avoid being peer pressured into compromising the gospel? Should we just avoid everyone? Well, no, the answer isn't isolation. It's gospel-centered community. Surround yourself with people who love Jesus and serve him. Remind each other of your identity in Christ, which nobody can shake. Remind each other you are already dearly loved by Jesus and his people, so you don't need to seek anybody else's approval. Constantly point each other back to God's word so you can stand firm in his truth and rest in the sure hope that someday Jesus will return to defeat all fear and sin, and we will live together in perfect community with him. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? If you don't know the truths of the gospel, it's really easy to compromise them without realizing it. How does studying God's word together help you stand strong in the truth? How can knowing Jesus' great love for you and the love his people have for you help you fight against the lie that you need to earn the approval of others? As you and I can read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, as well as 1 Corinthians 15, which we of course already referenced, especially verses 31 through 34, and Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Have you checked out our Instagram page lately? We would love to connect with you. Just search for @UnlockedDevo for almost daily updates, a good laugh every once in a while, and a peek behind the scenes of Unlocked. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to be telling us a story about the cloak. But until then, I'm Andrew Stevens, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Following is a program, Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. There were 32,000 men from Israel who came out to join forces with Gideon. Gideon will be fighting against 135,000 men from the Midian United Army. God told Gideon that he had too many soldiers with him and told him to send those who were afraid of the battle home. Following God's word, Gideon told the Israelites who were afraid to return. Among 32,000, 22,000 people returned. Gideon only had 10,000 people remaining. Gideon lost courage as he saw the people leave. God spoke to Gideon again.
Gideon!
Yes, God, please speak.
There are still too many people with you.
Huh? Out of 32,000, 22,000 left, and now there's only 10,000 remaining. Is that still too many people? God, the Midian United Army has a countless number of men.
Gideon, do not worry and do as I say. Take the remaining people down to the water. I will choose those who will be with you.
Ah, yes, I understand.
Following God's word, Gideon led 10,000 people down to the water. When they reached the water, God spoke to Gideon again.
Gideon, have the people drink the water. Separate those who drink water from cupped hands from those who kneel down to drink.
Yes, I understand. Brothers, we will soon go into battle, so drink some water here.
10,000 people began to drink water. Some people drank water from cupped hands and some kneeled down to drink water. Following God's word, Gideon separated the two groups of people.
Those who drank water with cupped hands stand here, and those who kneel down to drink water stand over there.
There were 300 people who drank water with cupped hands and 9,700 people who kneeled down to drink water. God spoke to Gideon again.
Gideon, I will save Israel and bring judgment upon Midian with the 300 people who drank water with cupped hands. Tell the 9,700 people who kneeled down to drink water to return home.
Huh? Instead of 300 people, I have to tell 9,700 people to return? God, this doesn't seem right.
Didn't I promise to be with you and give Midian into your hands? Hurry and do as I say.
Yes, I understand.
Following God's word, Gideon sent 9,700 people home.
You may return home and wait. God said he will take 300 people here to battle.
9,700 people returned home and Gideon had 300 people remaining. The sun was setting and darkness came.
Why is God reducing the number of people? I don't understand. I'm sure he has a reason. The sun has set, so I guess God will send us to battle tomorrow morning. We should get some good sleep tonight.
God spoke to Gideon, who was getting ready to sleep.
Gideon, get up and attack Midian. I will give Midian into your hands.
Huh? Now? We didn't make any preparations.
I see you are still afraid. Take your servant Purah and go near the Midian camp. You will hear what they say and gain courage. Then you will have the heart to battle them.
Are you telling me to only take Pura to the enemy camp? Yes, I understand.
Following God's word, Gideon took his servant Pura and went down to the Midian United Army's camp. What will Gideon hear at that place? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
A portable device? If you do, you can listen to our programs through the Heart and Soul app. Ask for your parents' permission and go to the Google Play Store or the App Store, depending on your device. Then, search for Heart and Soul and download it. If you have any questions, please call us at 602-866-8999 or email us at heartandsoul.org@gmail.com.
Following is program, Lead Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's daily devotional.
Why does Mom have to be so sick? Dad even had to take her to a special doctor in another city. My God!
It's hard to see what God is doing now, but you can trust Him to do what's best. I'm Zach, and you're listening to Keys for Kids. The coronavirus has been one of the hardest struggles for many over the past year. And maybe you wonder why God would let such a bad thing happen. After all, many people have been sick and some have even died. How can anything good come from that? It's hard to know how God uses tough times until we go to be with Him in heaven one day. But for now, you can trust Him to do what's best and ask Him to grow your faith. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." Our story today is entitled, Something Beautiful. I wonder if Mom will ever be well again, Savannah thought as she got out of the car and walked with her aunt toward the church. Savannah was staying with her while Dad took Mom to a special doctor in another city. "Look at that window, Savannah," Aunt Melanie said, pointing to a stained glass window visible from outside of the church building. Savannah looked up, but she wasn't impressed. "All I see are a bunch of little dark pieces of glass," she said with a frown. "Wait till we get inside and then look again," replied Aunt Melanie. After they took their seats, Aunt Melanie nudged Savannah. "Look," she said, and Savannah looked up at the stained glass window. It looked much different from this side. The sun shone brightly through the colored glass, revealing a picture of children gathered around Jesus. As they were leaving their seats at the end of the service, Aunt Melanie again motioned toward the window. "You know, that window looks so different with the sun shining through it, and that reminds me of life." She reached over to squeeze Savannah's shoulders. "From our point of view, life can seem dark and dull, especially when we're going through bad times, like your mom's illness. But Jesus can help us see things from His angle. He can shine through the difficulties we face and make a beautiful picture of our lives." Savannah sighed deeply. "I'm so scared, though," she said. "I understand," said Aunt Melanie, "and so does Jesus. He knows what it's like to go through terrible hardship. He suffered and died to save us from sin. When we face hard times in our lives, He's close to us and uses them to help us grow in our relationship with Him and show others His love. He can shine through our suffering so we and others can see a clearer picture of who He is." As Savannah stared at the window, the face of Jesus seemed to light up as the sun shone through the glass. She gave her aunt a small smile as they headed for the door. So how about you? Does your life look dull and dreary to you? Perhaps there's been sickness or a death in your family. Maybe your parents are separating or your best friend moved away. Jesus understands how you feel when you're hurting. He faced terrible suffering and death to give you eternal life. When you face difficulties, He'll use them to help you know Him better and become more like Him. So trust Him to make something beautiful out of your life. Our key verse is 1 Corinthians 13:12.
"For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face."
And our key thought for today, trust Jesus in hard times. Do you have teen brothers or sisters? If you do, you probably know how busy they are. It can be tough to spend time with God on busy days, but the Unlocked Teen Devotion app makes it easy. Every day there's a short story or an article to read or listen to, along with questions and Bible verses to think about. So go to unlock.org to get a direct link to the app. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
"Look what Elias did to my math book. He's ruined it. He was careless, and now it's all ripped up."
"That seems like it was just an accident. Why not give Elias another chance?" Hi, and welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Let's get started. If your brother or sister breaks one of your toys, do you get really upset? It's easy to be angry with someone when they mess up. But when you do, it's important to remember how much you mess up when it comes to God. He gives you second chances anytime you ask for forgiveness. So if he can do that for you, can't you do that for others? Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Let's listen to our story today. It's entitled, Second Chance. "Look what Elias did to my math book," Isabel said angrily. "He ruined it." She turned toward her little brother. "Don't you ever touch my books again." "I'm sorry, Isabel," Elias said sadly. "It just broke." "Books don't break. You ripped it. You were careless, and now it's all torn up." Isabel shook her finger at Elias. "From now on, you leave my books alone," she said as she went to get ready for school. That afternoon, Mom joined Isabel in her room. "How's the homework coming along? You had a test today, didn't you?" "Yes, but most of us messed up on it," Isabel replied. "We didn't understand the problems very well, so Miss Nelson explained them again. We're having another test tomorrow. She's giving us a chance to bring our grades up," Isabel smiled. "Miss Nelson is a really nice teacher." Mom nodded. "I'd say it's good of her to give you a second chance." A moment later, she added, "Elias sure could use a second chance, too." Isabel looked puzzled. "Does Elias have to take tests in kindergarten?" "I was thinking of your math book. I think he needs a second chance with you," Mom explained. "Don't you think you were a little hard on him today? I don't think he's quite gotten over it. He's been very quiet today." Isabel looked down at her hands. "It just makes me so mad when he touches my stuff without asking." "I know," said Mom. "He needs to learn not to do that. But God gives us second chances all the time. Jesus always forgives us when we sin, and we need to do the same for others, even little brothers." Just then, Elias came into the room. "I'm going to save my allowance to buy you a new book," he told his sister. Isabel's glance fell on her math book and she shook her head. "You don't have to do that, Elias. I know you didn't rip my book on purpose. I'm sorry I was mean about it." Isabel gave him a smile. "Just don't touch my school books from now on, okay? I have lots of other books you can look at instead. Just try to be careful with them." "Okay," agreed Elias with a big smile. "I'll be very careful." So how about you? Do you realize how many second chances God has given you? How often have you cheated, lied, or disobeyed? How many times have you failed God in one way or another? Yet when you confessed your sin to Jesus, he always forgave you. Are you holding a grudge now because someone made you angry? Trust Jesus to help you forgive as he does. Our key verse is Colossians 3:13.
"Bear with each other and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you."
And our key thought today, be forgiving. When you spend time with God this summer, you could win. Join the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program and read the Keys for Kids stories every day in June, July, and August. Then you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller each of those months. And if you complete all 3 months, you'll be entered for a chance to win the grand prize, your very own Bluetooth speaker. So get ready for Word with Zach now. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here was Wednesday's daily devotional.
I want to give more to church, like my friends, but I didn't make very much with my lemonade stand. It's no good.
The amount you give is not as important as the attitude you give it with. Guess what? You're listening to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. I'm so glad you're tuned in today. When the offering plate comes by at church, do you wish you could give more? Some people think that God will only be pleased with their offering if they give a lot of money. But that's not what God values in our giving. What's important to God is why we give and how we give it. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Our story today is entitled, Giving What You Can. Allie wanted to put more money in the offering plate, but all she had was a few coins. As the plate made its way across the aisle, she watched her friends drop several bills in. Allie frowned. It didn't seem fair that her parents couldn't give her much money to put in. She wanted to do more. The next day, Allie set up a lemonade stand to raise money for the church. She felt good about it until she added up the money at the end of the day and found she had only made a few dollars. "I'll never be able to give as much as my friends," Allie mumbled. Her dad, who was searching for jobs online, looked up. "What was that?" "My friends give a lot more money to church than we do. Even with the lemonade stand, my money won't make any difference compared to what they give." Dad shook his head. "It's not about how much you give, Allie. It's about where it comes from." Allie's brow wrinkled. "What does that mean?" Dad closed his laptop. "There was a widow in the Bible. She had only a few coins, but she gave them away. Jesus said she had given more than anyone else because she gave her all, and that's what you're doing." "It is?" Allie asked. Dad nodded. "You've worked hard to earn money at your lemonade stand today so you could give more to the church. Even though it doesn't seem like much to you, you're giving what you have to help our church show people the love of Jesus, and that's what matters. God sees your heart, and He can use whatever amount you give Him for good, even if it's just a little." Allie looked at her little stack of money. It wasn't much, but it was all she had. "I think I want to do another lemonade stand next week," she said. Dad smiled. "I'll be the first in line." Allie smiled back. She might not earn very much from her lemonade stand, but it was a way to help her church, and she wanted to do it. She wanted to give from her heart. So how about you? Have you ever worried that you aren't giving enough? The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Do you feel cheerful about what you give? Do you give from your heart out of gratitude for all Jesus has done for you? That's what matters. God can use any amount of money or time you give, no matter how little it is, to show people His love. Our key verse is found in 2 Corinthians 9:7.
"Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver."
And our key thought today, give from the heart. Have you signed up for the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program yet? When you do, you can get this year's Zach Pack. I put together some special items to help you do your reading every day. In the pack, you'll find my favorite blue fundana. You can wear it as a hat, a scarf, a headband, or any way you imagine. I've also made a brand new journal for you to write down questions and prayer requests or the things you've learned about God. And you need something to write with, right? So I came up with red, blue, orange, and green pens, and they light up like flashlights too. Check out the Zach Pack at wordwithzach.org and tap Materials in the menu. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I feel so bad about stealing the watch. Now I feel like everyone is watching me.
Even if no one saw you steal the watch, there is someone who knows you took it, and he's the one convicting you of sin. If you've ever done something wrong and felt guilty about it, pay close attention to today's story right here on Keys for Kids. Have you ever felt guilty because you stole something, told a lie, or did something else wrong? That guilt you feel is the Holy Spirit reminding you of your sin. He does that so you can confess your wrongdoing to God and to others. When you do, you won't feel guilty anymore. Psalm 32:1 says, "Happy is the person whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned." Our story today is called The Mysterious Witness. The numbers on the watch glowed eerily in the darkness. Damien sighed as he got up and shoved the watch into his dresser drawer. "Why did I steal it?" he wondered. Damien had seen the watch while he and his mom were out shopping. He wanted it so much that he slipped it into his pocket. "I can't wear this," he thought. Mom and Dad will notice, and how would I explain it? I sure hope nobody saw me take it. Damien tossed and turned all night, and the next morning he was worn out from exhaustion and guilt. At lunchtime, Damien noticed several teachers talking quietly together, and one of them seemed to glance in his direction. In fact, it seemed like everybody looked at him suspiciously. Who saw me take it? He wondered. That night, Damien heard footsteps in the hallway. Who's there? He whispered hoarsely. What do you want? Damien's dad appeared in the doorway. I just got up for a drink of water, he said. Is something wrong? It's in my top drawer, Damien said, tears filling his eyes. Go ahead and take it. Puzzled, Dad turned on the light and opened the drawer. He gave a low whistle as he held up the watch. Judging from what you said just now, I'm assuming you didn't get this honestly, did you? Damien poured out the whole story, ending with his impression that everyone seemed to know what he had done. Dad nodded. Someone did see you take that watch, and he's been bothering you about it. Who? Asked Damien. God saw you, Dad replied. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, he makes it clear to us that our actions do not fit with who we are as God's children. I need to take it back and admit I stole it, don't I? Said Damien. Yes, Dad said. And what else do you think you should do? Damien thought a moment. I need to confess it to Jesus. Dad nodded. Jesus always forgives us when we confess our sin and helps us right our wrongs. So Damien bowed his head, asked for God's forgiveness, and promised to take the watch back the next day and accept the consequences for stealing it. Then he slipped into a deep, peaceful sleep. So how about you? Is there a sin the Holy Spirit is convicting you about today? Is the guilt over what you did making it difficult to think of anything else? Even if no one else knows what you did, God does. You can't hide your sin from Him. Confess your sin to Jesus and receive the perfect peace of His forgiveness. And then admit what you did to anyone else you wronged and make it right. Our key verse is found in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And our key thought for the day, God's Spirit convicts. When you join the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program, you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller. And if you read all summer long, you'll be entered for a chance to win the grand prize, your own Bluetooth speaker. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I can't believe our pet snail escaped from her tank. We looked all over before we found her.
You love your snail, so you look for her. And Jesus did the same for you. I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. The other day, I got really worried when I came home from school and my dog Chester didn't greet me at the door. The house was quiet, and I got scared. I searched up and down every street calling his name. When I finally got home hours later, he was sitting on the front porch just like he never left. I was so relieved to find him. Well, guess what? If you didn't know it, Jesus is looking for you too. That's how much he loves you. It's all in our story right here called, Want to Go on a Snail Hunt? Mom, Melody cried. Molly is gone. Molly was the family's mystery snail. Melody's older brothers, Bill and Randy, ran to the living room. Mel, don't be silly, said Bill. She has to be in the tank someplace. She's a water snail. She's probably hiding. Melody rolled her eyes. I looked everywhere. I gently lifted all the plants and checked under them. Randy mumbled as he rechecked the tank. Mom, he called with a sense of urgency, Molly is missing. Mom came upstairs. That's strange. Let's check to see if water snails can escape. Melody shouted to wake up their smart speaker. Can mystery snails escape their tank? She asked it. In no time at all, they learned that the snails can escape their tanks, but they only live 2 days out of the water. To find them, one must follow their trail. Bill ran for flashlights as he called out, "Want to go on a snail hunt?" The three children squealed and began searching. "I see the trail," Randy exclaimed. "See the sticky trail heading under the recliner?" "Careful," Bill said as they moved the recliner. "There she is!" Melody scooped Molly up and gently placed her back in the water. "You silly snail, you can't live out here. You need to stay in the safety of your tank. I'm so glad we found you." After much laughter over their adventures at supper that night, Mom became thoughtful. "You know, this adventure reminds me of how much God loves us, even though we want to go our own way. Remember the parable Jesus told of the shepherd going after the one lost sheep, even though the other 99 sheep were safe? Jesus loves us enough to come searching for us." "Yeah," Bill chimed in. "Just like we rescued Molly, Jesus came to earth to save us from our sin." "Yes," Mom said, "but it cost Jesus a lot more than it cost us to get Molly back. He gave his life to pay the price for our sin and bring us back to God." Melody looked at the snail tank and smiled, and now we're safe with him. So what about you? Are you still lost? The Bible says our sin has caused each one of us to go our own way, and we've all wandered far from God. So he went searching for us. Jesus, God's Son, came to earth as a human and died on the cross for our sins. When you put your trust in him, you're no longer lost. You're saved. So trust in him as your Savior today. For more information on what it means to trust Jesus as your Savior, just get your parents' permission and go to keysforkids.org/salvation. And our key verse today, Luke 19:10.
"For the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost."
And here's our key thought for the day. Jesus came to find you. When you join the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program, you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller. And if you read all summer long, you'll be entered for a chance to win the grand prize, your own Bluetooth speaker. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him?
Wasn't that another blasting time doing the daily devotionals? How much closer did you get to Jesus today? Make sure to share this amazing story with your family. Hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him this week. Well then, I'll catch you later.